Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life.
It's been a blessing to be here, and hopefully we can continue to pray for you. And I just believe God's going to do something great in the missions conference this year. Well, I just want to try to give you some things I've learned. Curtis Hudson wrote a book entitled Some Things I've Learned. And so maybe tonight it'll help you. If you already know it, forgive me, but maybe there's a few here that have never heard about this particular part of missions. So I think we'll do a trail and try to connect the dots a little bit through the Bible. So if you're able, let's start out in Matthew, and let's stand together in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. We'll start here, and I'll say just a quick word about this particular verse, and then we'll go on to the next and try to connect the dots about missions, and we'll give God the glory when it's all said and done. If you look in Matthew 9, and I've enjoyed going through the book of Matthew. Jesus is the greatest teacher and the greatest preacher that will ever be. And how he helps us when we look at what he says. But in verse 36, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd." And you know, there's a lot of people in this world that don't have a shepherd, that are lost. You heard about one tonight that got saved, Mel Trotter. And thank God that the Lord can give us that shepherd. But he says in verse 37, "Then saith he unto his disciples," look at this, "the harvest truly is plenteous, but the labors are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." One thing about missions, you know, it's ready now to be reaped. And I was driving by coming to church, and the cornfield over here, I've never seen such big corn cobs, ears of corn. And you know, it's ready to be reaped. And when you think about missions, people are dying. They're lost, and they do need the Lord. I know some people don't like that song, "People Need the Lord." I happen to like it because it's the truth. You know, people still need the Lord. And that's what missions is all about, is reaching them with the gospel. Let's pray, and then we'll go to the next connect the dot, okay? Father, we love you and give you the glory. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to die for sinners. Thank you that we're here tonight to talk and to think about this subject, this grand subject of missions for the local church. I pray you'd help me. And Lord, help me to say all that I need to say and keep me back from saying what I don't need to say. And Lord, tonight, I just appreciate the opportunity and the privilege. Thank you for this pastor, his family. And Lord, may we see Jesus tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, thank you. You may be seated. Let me just say a quick word or two about compassion. We'll go to the next one. And hopefully we'll be able to give you a lot of practical tips about mission here tonight. But he said, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. I think if we get a glimpse of his compassion, if we learn a little bit about how he longed and he suffered after people, it pained his heart. I mean, he went all the way to the cross loving people. Yeah. Compassion. When you look at the misfortunes of others, when you think of this hymn story tonight, it broke my heart. These little kids, you know, that they wouldn't have what they needed, and they didn't have a daddy until a daddy gets saved, friends. He can't be the daddy he needs to be. And or a mother, they really can't be what God would have them to be until they find Jesus Christ as their Savior. And that's just the truth. I don't want to make you mad, but friends, that's the truth. Compassion. Compassion is so necessary. Okay, how are we going to make a difference? The Bible says in Jude 22, and of some having compassion making a difference. If we're going to make a difference this coming year in the worldwide evangelization of this church, Riverview Baptist Church, we're going to have some compassion for the lost, aren't we? I got a burden. I got a burden for Brother Max's brother going to Indonesia. He's a missionary. And he's taking his family over in a dangerous territory. I mean, the Muslim religion, they'll cut your head off. And but that's not the only area. This whole world needs missionaries. And so we're going to have compassion. Lee Robertson said he retired and he visited. He's a great fundamentalist preacher. Your pastor will tell you about him. After he retired, he visited 1,700 churches. And he said, the missing ingredient, what I found in those churches, was compassion. Bobby Robertson said, we need to keep clean before the Lord, and we need to have compassion. And so it's so very important. He said he looked on the multitudes, and he was moved with compassion. You know, your eye affects your heart. Can you just see the world through the Lord's eyes a little bit tonight and think of the people over in India? Reaching out their hands because they're lost and they don't have any hope. Or people over in Poland or Germany or here in Wisconsin that are steeped in religion. Hey, let me say this. Religion will never save anybody. They need a relationship. Amen. And so compassion, quickly. Compassion on the young. Compassion on the children, on the mission field, here and abroad. Compassion with the teenagers. Yes, they need to be taught again. Compassion on the elderly. My mom and dad are in assisted living. Hey, we went into a nursing home today, had the privilege of talking about Jesus. And we need to be compassionate to those old folks. My mom almost died recently. She was in the hospital 35 days. I stayed with her every single night for about 33 days or so until my sister came. And I never did really appreciate nurses that much until I was up there spending the whole entire night with my mom. She had two major surgeries and she's 86. Well, good news, she's still living. I talked to her today, told her I loved her. I told her to pray for the missions conference. But we need to have compassion on the elderly and be kind to them. Hey, we need to have compassion, and here it is, on the lost. On the lost people, boys and girls, teenagers, everybody. Compassion on the backslider. Jesus had compassion. I never saw him complain or, in the Bible, I'd see where he's critical. He didn't have a critical or negative spirit. Sometimes he came down on the Pharisees. He came down hard on the Pharisees. But he had such a sweet spirit about him, and he was not striving or argumentative. He humbled himself. And what I see of Jesus pouring himself out on the cross, all I saw was humility. And compassion and prayer go together. Write that down if you're taking notes. Compassion and prayer go together. And so we need to pray. We need to pray this year for this missions commitment. Now let me go to the next dot, and we'll get over here to some of this practical ideas, if you will. Let's go. I'm just going to tell you what I've learned, some things that I've learned. I'm not an expert on anything. But if you go to Matthew chapter 28, and it's where we find the Great Commission. If you really want to get a vision, your pastor will tell you this quick. I know he'll tell you this quick. Where you get the joy, where you get the blessings, hear me now, where you get your happiness, where you get your sweet pillow where you can rest at night, is when you obey God. Yes. When you obey the Great Commission. Amen. Now what is the Great Commission? The Great Commission is to go in Matthew 28. Let's read it. In Matthew 28, in verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now think about this. You can't go into all the world. Neither can I. Individually, physically. So how do we do that? We do that through the missions of the local church. And so when you support missions, when you give and you pray, unless you're going to go yourself, amen? If you're not going to go yourself, surrender yourself. Then we, Brother Max, if you're not going to go to Indonesia, your brother's surrendered to go, we need to support him, right? That's the way it goes. And so I'm just telling you some things I've learned. And when you think of the need there, and you see the need, your eye affects your heart. When you think, okay, here's a couple who have given up their jobs, given up their livelihood, and they've surrendered to do whatever God would have them to do, then we need to get behind those kind of people. Now, the harvest is plenteous. Go to John. John, we'll take you right through in John chapter 4. John chapter 4, and look at verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Do you believe the world's ready to harvest? Do you believe God gave us the Great Commission? It's not the Great Suggestion. It's the Great Commission. It's what we need to be doing as individual Christians through the local church. So God gave it. He says, look on the fields, for they're white unto harvest. I remember going to India and Sri Lanka. I've been to Korea. I've been to Panama jungle. Ate monkey. Saw the need there. But I remember in Sri Lanka, out there in those tea fields. I had some gospel tracts and I waved at the ladies. They were picking the tea leaves off. And out there in the fields. And they had all these beautiful, like rainbow of color gowns on. And one came. And I had a gospel tract in their own language to tell them about Jesus. The good news that they could have their sins forgiven and go to heaven. And I passed one. And I didn't know what they were saying, Brother George. And the word spread because they could read it in their native tongue. You're talking about a harvest. You're talking about a need. I'm trying for you to see the vision tonight. Your eye affects your heart. And after it kind of ran through those 15 or 20 women, they approached that fence. They were up high on the tea fields, and I was down below. And I reached that track. I'll never forget it as long as I live. And they just all swarmed. And they were reaching. They were reaching for the gospel, the truth. And we had it and we were giving it to them. Friends, that's what missions is about. The harvest is plenteous and the labors are few. And then so now let's go to the book of Acts and see another something I've learned about missions. If you will, in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. Jesus is speaking unto me and both in Jerusalem. That's your Green Bay area, West, Seymour, and all these little areas, and Jerusalem, and in all Judea, outskirts, and in Samaria, and this is what I want you to see, connect the dots, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Well, dear lady and gentlemen, how are we going to go to the uttermost parts of the earth if we don't support missionaries? How are we going to do that? We can't. See, this is God's design. He commanded us to do it. He commanded us to be a witness. He told us to go to the uttermost parts of the earth. And we just need to obey that. Amen. And then if you go over to Romans, we're getting there. Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach, watch this, except they be sent? How are they going to be sent? Through the local church? How are they going to make it? It takes money to send a missionary. Our church sends out every month over 11,000, almost 12,000 a month. That's over and above our tithe. You say, did it always start that much? No. It started just a little bit, taking on one missionary, and then built upon it, and then built upon it. And people's faith were increased. We'll talk about that here in just a little bit. But I want you to see, this is God's design. This is God's plan. This is God's trail of missions. He says, how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now let's go a little bit more to the practical side of it. And let's go over to 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, where we get the principles of missions, faith promise missions. And then after we go here in chapter 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians, we'll go to one more passage, and then we'll just kind of share our heart how you actually can participate in the missions program of your church and kind of how it works. But in chapter 8, in verse 1, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit. I looked up that word wit. It means to get after it. Quit talking about it and get her done. You know, there's a lot of talk about missions, but friends, we just need to obey God, don't we? A wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. This liberality of the Macedonian churches, this giving, Paul's challenging them, and they're going to give a gift, and they're helping. And so look what Paul tells them in verse 3. Now, we're speaking specifically about missions giving. And for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. And really, that's huge right there. We'll talk about in a little more concise manner here in just a moment. But it really starts with your desire of wanting to give to missions. That's where it starts. You have to have that desire. You have to have that heart's desire. You have to see the field that it's ripe already to harvest. Look at verse 5. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. You know what? Maybe God's calling you to the mission field. And God will work in your heart. He says in verse 7, therefore, as ye abound in everything in faith. You see, it's a principle of faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence. And in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I want you to know that God will give you the help that you need. You say, I don't have any money, Pastor. Hey, that's a good place to be, because God can give you the faith and the grace to accomplish what He wants you to do. He never calls you to do something without giving you the enabling to do it. Look what He says in verse 8. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the frowardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. If you love the Lord, and if you love the gospel, and if you love to get the message out in obedience to the Lord, then you won't have any problem filling out your faith promise card this coming week or whenever the pastor sees fit to do it. You won't have a problem with that, and you'll be able to prove the sincerity of your love. That's what Western Hills is. Just a bunch of people that's proven their love to the Lord. He says in verse 10 of chapter 8, and herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. So they planned it. They're going to take an offering up. normally the missions commitment that you fill out, I know ours is for 1 year. Some churches do it different. But you'll depend upon God and show your sincerity of your love, and you'll mark something. There's no place for your name. It's not a bill. You won't get billed for it. It's not like a pledge. But it's between you and God. And the thing is, you're relying upon God to help you to give it. Now, you have to first have a willing mind. In verse 12, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to he hath not. And it takes teamwork. Paul Chappell says, teamwork makes the dream work. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, and their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. God will bless you for giving to missions. And you won't be lacked. In verse 15, as it is written, he that had gathered much had gathered over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. My wife and I have been giving for over 30 years. Every single year, God sees fit to provide it. And every single year, God has increased it. And you know, if God can do it 1 year, He can do it the next year. Now, if you really get a hold of what God is trying to say about missions, and you have compassion for the lost, then you won't have a problem giving to missions, because it'll be out of your heart. And so we'll talk about how you can kind of go through and figure out what God would have you to do here in just a moment. Let's just read a few more verses. Let's see. Oh, by the way, do you realize there are so many missionaries that need to be taken on right now? You may not get too many calls here in Wisconsin, but I get calls on a weekly basis. There's so many missionaries trying to get to the field that we can't have them all come. And so there's plenty of places you can give your missions money. Somebody say amen right there. You won't have a problem finding places. Look at verse 24 in chapter 8. Wherefore, show ye to them and before the churches and the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. Now, you need to be ready to step out when your pastor takes these up. Verse 3. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready to step out. Be ready to give to mission, lest haply if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we say not, ye should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Paul's saying, get your money ready. Get it ready. Put it in an envelope. Write on their missions. And get ready to send that money, because they're going to need it. Lest haply, if the Macedonian come with me, find you unprepared. Where preparation, I wrote this in the margin of my Bible. I thought it was real good. Where preparation meets opportunity, success comes. And so prepare to be a blessing to others through the giving of your local church. Verse number 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So how much do you want to reap? You say, I can't do it. I don't know how to do it. Now, that can be fixed. But if you don't want to do it, only the Lord can lay it on your heart to want to do it, right? I can't make you want to do it. But he says in verse 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Amen. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Hey, brothers and sisters, when you fill out this card and mark on there what God would have you to do in faith, that's where faith begins, by His grace, trusting in Him, dear friends, God's going to show you and He's going to bless you for it. God is able to make all grace abound, verse 8, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, He hath dispersed abroad, He hath given to the poor, His righteousness remaineth forever. And so I just want to say, thank God for the privilege of giving to missions, because you can never outgive God. Right. Thanksgiving be unto God. And I know when I give to our mission, we write our check out. We wrote it out before we left home and put it in the offering plate, because those missionaries are depending on it. And it's quite a bit of money. It didn't start off that much. I can tell you what we give to missions now, and I'm not bragging or boasting or proud or anything what we have done, because it's all been God. But if I could tell you what I give to missions now, it'd blow your mind. How does that happen? I'll tell you how it happens. Starting out in faith, by grace, hey, believing what God said. God's word is true, and He will bless you for it. Real quick, go to Luke 6:38. I love this verse. I quote this all the time to our people, especially in missions time. In Luke 6:38, everybody got it? Say amen if you got it. Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Go to one last passage, Philippians, and then we'll talk about just some nuts and bolts. In Philippians 4, in a missionary context, Paul was involved in this. Paul was blessed by the givings of others. Somebody say amen. Because they gave him an offering. They cared for him, these dear saints. He was humbled. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, look at this. Not that I speak in respect of want. You know why your pastor's having a missions conference? Not that he's asking for money for him. Somebody say amen. That's not about missions. I mean, it's not about him. It's about missions is what it's about. It's about obeying the Great Commission. It's about sending missionaries, supporting missionaries to get to the foreign field. How does that happen? It's when men and women, boys and girls, hey, boys and girls, you're important too. Everybody, equality, doing their part, getting the Great Commission out. Look at this verse. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Amen. You say, I can never give to missions. Not on your own flesh, but you can do it through the Lord. Amen. Yes. Notwithstanding, ye have well done and did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. If you were here at the banquet on Saturday night, I told you the greatest reason God has blessed our church is because of missions. That's right. Not because of this pastor. I believe it's because some people, hear me, they caught a vision, they had compassion, they loved souls, they loved the Lord Jesus, and in faith, they stepped out. And they started giving to missions. It was Bob Hughes, a great missionary to the Philippines. He said, get out on the limb. Get out on the limb. That's where the fruit is. And you have to step. And there's no place to step. You see, you walk by faith, not by sight. The just shall live by faith. And so, faith promise missions is obedience to the Lord. in getting the gospel out. It's God's way. Can I say a quick word? It doesn't take the place of the Lord's tithe. The tithe is the Lord's. If you're not tithing 10% on your gross, you're disobeying the Lord. The Bible says, honor the Lord with the first fruits of all thine increase, and so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Hey, you can never go wrong honoring the Lord first. It should be the first check written. You shouldn't go to Hardee's and get a hamburger with your debit card after you get paid and then write the Lord's check out. The Lord, the King of glory, who died for our sins, deserves first place. Seek ye first. Write out your tithe check, his tithe. That's God's way of financing His local church. Not through white elephant sales and garage sales and everything else. No, the tithe will be sufficient. But now, He talks about offerings over that. And I tell you what, when you start to get in on that, is when God will start to show you Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. Now we're talking about a missionary offering. He says, just a little further, and then we'll be done with the scriptures here. Verse 14, notwithstanding ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Hey, don't get upset. Don't get your feathers ruffled when your pastor speaks about money. Jesus spoke more about money than He did on hell. You ever heard about, it rubbed the cat's fur the wrong way? Hey, turn the cat around. Hey, you know why we should speak about money? Because where your treasure is, there shall your heart be also. Right. When you get the Lord's principles of missions and tithing settled in your heart, you know what? God, you realize that everything belongs to God, that God's in control and God's powerful. And hey, like Louise Gelsthorpe used to say, an old lady in our church, she said this. She said, Pastor, I live better on 90% with God's blessings than 100% without God's blessings. You can never outgive the Lord. Never. My dad used to say, you start giving to missions, whatever it is. My dad's still giving to missions today in assisted living with one leg. And every year his mission offering goes up. He said, you give to missions and you write it down. You take good calculations and books. You write it down where you're at. You start giving to missions. And the end of 1 year, if you're worse off than you were when you started, I'll give you every penny back. He's been saying that for over 60 years, and no one has ever came to Him and got anything from Him.
That's right.
You know why? Because this book is absolutely true.
Amen.
You'll never come against this book. Look what he says in verse 17. Not because I desire gift, but I desire fruit. When your pastor gets up, talks about mission money, you smile to him. You say amen.
Amen.
Don't get your feathers ruffled. He's going to bring these cards out. And look, he's going to say, some of you need to step out in faith and give this year to missions. And some of you say, yay, Lord, whatever you want. And thank you, Pastor. Amen. You know, the pastor that doesn't teach you these principles is a pastor that doesn't care for you.
That's right. Amen.
So, don't give him a hard time. some of the wonderful testimonies I could tell you about people in our church who have tried God. They have tried God and they have seen God come through. And they rejoice and they share testimonies. And they have fruit. Look what Paul says in verse 18. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. An odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. What would you give your life for? You need to understand the importance of people. Jesus looked on the multitudes and he was moved with compassion. There's going to be missionaries coming through. There's going to be missionaries calling your pastors. How is he going to support them if God's church here, Riverview Baptist Church, doesn't get to giving? Now let me just give you a few nuts and bolts and I'm out. I'm done. Faith promised. You do it by faith. You make a promise to God, not to the church, not to the pastor. It's to God. Above your tithe to the missionary ministry of your local church. It's normally for 1 year. You find these principles in 2 Corinthians 8, 2 Corinthians 9. We just read them. Let me just say, first, you determine if you have a willingness to be involved. Can I ask you that question? Are you willing? Are you willing to get involved? Do you have a willing heart? Next, and you say, well, I can't remember all these things, Pastor. That's fine. Your pastor will help you. But listen, just ask God what He'd have you to do this coming year. What amount do you want me to put on there? My wife and I are already praying. Our conference is coming in October with our church. We're already praying. And that's what your pastor's been telling you, right? Pray what you're going to give to missions. Hey, if you listen to the Lord and obey the Lord, He'll tell you exactly what to put. Amen. And then you need to pray some more. And you know, faith promise missions is really simple. You just pray and step out in faith, write it on the card and give it. And God will bless you because you love souls. But pray for God to give you what you put down. Amen. Provide it. Amen. And then give. Give it. You may not have it. You have to give it. Step out in faith. You see, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Remember, faith promise is meant to be based on generosity. This is huge. This is really huge. That comes from the joy of the Lord. When you fill out your card, you will notice that there is no place to write your name. Faith promise is not a pledge to your church. It is a promise between you and God. Remember, your missionaries are counting on you. Right. And you're going to rip this off as a reminder. You keep one of these to remind you. Put it on the refrigerator. Amen. Even if it don't work. The amount you will be asked to record on the promise card will be a weekly amount. It can be given in accordance with however you get paid, weekly, monthly, biweekly, etc. If you have a monthly amount in mind, simply divide the monthly amount by four and put it on the card in the weekly. The amount you give. And I'll probably be done here in about 5 minutes. Thank you for your attention. You've done really well tonight. But the amount you give should be a serious matter of prayer. A true faith promise will usually be somewhat in line with the following. It will usually be an amount that stretches you, that seems just beyond your reach and just beyond your power. It's an amount within reach comfortably. An amount within reach comfortably is not a faith promise. And usually, what we arrive at after using a bank book to figure out an amount. Don't do that. That's not the way you do it. Okay, honey, what can we afford? Absolutely nothing, so I guess we won't be given the missions. So there you go. Now, where's the faith in that? This is where faith begins. And so you... the key to faith promise is seriously seeking God's will for what He would have you to give. I just can't stress that enough. Children should be encouraged to give. My little grandchildren, they give. They start out giving a penny, and they start out, and then the next year they gave a nickel. Next year they gave a dime. Next year they gave a quarter. Next year they gave 50 cents. Next year they gave 75 cents, a dollar. You know, it's amazing the testimonies, how those little get, how God provided. Sometimes He provided it through chores of mom and dad. You know, but God did provide it. Amen. Young children need to have the opportunity.
Yes.
When looking at your giving, try not to look at it in simple dollars, but in the sense of missionaries supported. For example, if your church supports missionaries at $100 per month and you give $25 a week times four, you are supporting one missionary with your giving. What if this church this year had, let's say, five or seven people that gave $25 a week? That's quite a bit of money. How much is that? I'm not very good at math, so how much would that be? You mathematicians? So if one person gave 25 a week, that's 100 a month, right? So $500-$700 a month. That'll support a lot of missionaries, won't it? You think God can provide, our omnipotent God can provide $25 a week? Say, I don't have any money. Hey, God can miraculously give it. God can arrange your finances. He can bring your expenses down. Hey, if we don't go to Five Guys or Starbucks or something, you know, we can have 25 a week. Amen. God can provide that.
Amen.
God's able. He's able. Amen. Okay, let me finish. Continue to pray throughout the year for God to provide your promise. Always give a testimony at church. And Pastor, allow for testimonies at church when God does something as a result of your giving in order to encourage the brethren. When you give your missions money, place it in an envelope, mark it as missions so the church knows it's missions money. Don't just mark the card, okay, I'm going to give, by faith, in dependence upon God, and He is faithful, I'm going to give 25 a week. Just don't put cash in the offering plate. Put it in an offering envelope, put missions on it. Because that way the church money counters and people, they'll know to put that money into the missions. Praise God. You don't have to place your name on it. Don't forget, there are three ways God enables you to give beyond the means. Say, how am I going to do it, Pastor? Well, remember this. If you prayed for it seriously, then God can do it, right?
Amen.
And then He can miraculously do it. You might just get a check in the mail. I just got one. We sold our house, and we've been in our other house since March, and the insurance was cut off because we sold the other house. It was cut off, and I didn't even know it. I wasn't even expecting it. I guess the Lord put a bug in my wife's ear. Oh, they didn't refund us for that, USAA. And so we're going to get two checks in the mail. We didn't expect that. Hey, guess what? God can provide it in miraculous ways. And He can reduce your expenses. And He can give you wisdom in your finances and controlling your spending. Amen? And that's what happens. And then God's work goes forward. And God's missionaries are supported. How in the world is Max's brother with the four children going to go to the jungles of Indonesia if Christians, through their local churches, don't get a burden, don't see the harvest, and don't get involved in missions? How's that going to happen? He's just not going to drop it out of the skies. Jack Treber says, God's got all the money He needs. It's in your pockets, in my pockets. That's where it's at. But, you know, it's going to come by faith. Last of all, and I'm done. Once you make your faith promise, and I don't know when exactly you're going to do it, pastor will probably do it more than one service. That's the way we do it every year. Because just like tonight, everybody in the church is not here tonight. So he will give them more of an opportunity for those who trickle in. And we take these up for about a month. We have one Sunday where we pass them out. We have everybody mark it. And then the ushers, you folks that are ushers and people that come in, they'll pass these out again. And your pastor will probably say just a few words or something. If you've not given to missions through your local church, we would love you to participate. And then he'll probably preach his message. That's probably what will happen. But once you make your faith promise, then the church steps out by faith, trusting that God will supply your promise. And what happens? Here it is. This church takes on more missionaries. Amen?
Amen.
I'll leave you with this verse. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. So let's stand together. If you want to come to the altar and you want to ask the Lord again, Lord, I'm getting ready to do this, and you know my heart has compassion, and you can even start coming now before Miss Lee ever gets on the piano. I think my wife and I will meet you at the altar down here. I'd like to have all the church's people to come and just pray and seek God for 1 year. 1 year. You're not making a commitment. You're just asking God, Lord, what will you have me to do? So if you're a member of this church, and you don't even have to be a member of this church to give to missions, amen? So if you'd like to come and pray, come on right now as she plays.
Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.